tūtai ki te rongarawa, nāna nei nā mea katoa. E te atua te nā koe, mihi tua rua ki te kīngi tūheitea me te kāwe āreki nui tonu pai mārere ki a rata. Mihi tūturu I ngā mate huhua, ko ia whānau, ko ia hapu, ko ia iwi. Haere koutou, haere hoki atu ki te tatau pau, paunamu o heni nui te pō. Haere, haere, haere atu rā koutou. Ki te ao wairua, mui mai rā, mui ngaroa. Te kānui ora e ngā matawaka, e ngā iwi hapu katoa, e whakarongo mai I te atanei, kia ara mai tatou katoa. Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. My name is Walter and I am an alcoholic.
Hi Walter.
Hi.
We will start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer song. Kia ora.
Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous, AA meeting on here. Kia ora, my name is Megan and I'm an alcoholic.
Kia ora, Megan.
I'd like to welcome our brother Rob and Te Pau. Welcome here this morning. Nau mai, haere mai. I think what we'll do is just open our meeting with the Serenity Prayer, eh, guys? Okay.
God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Kia ora, brothers. And I'll just read the preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This morning we'll be hearing from two speakers. Our speakers this morning will be sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And first I'd like to ask our brother Te Pau, would you like to share with us?
Kia ora te whānau. Ko Te Pau tōku ingoa. He tangata waipiro a hau. My name's Te Pau and I'm an alcoholic.
Kia ora Te Pau.
Just pay a quick respects and give thanks to our atua for bringing us here today. And carrying the kaupapa to our people, to our whānau. And I'm originally from Te Aroa, of Te Aroa descent, from Ngāti Kia, Ngāti Tuara. And my journey of alcoholism, I believe for me, started from a very young age, from probably a peepee, a baby. I grew up around a lot of drinking as a kid back home in Rotorua, and what I saw was a lot of family just drinking, you know, so it was the norm. And then I started drinking alcohol at the age of about 18. I used to grab all the stubbies after my whānau or my grandparents, all the parties at home. I used to grab all their leftovers and drink them. And I started full on drinking at about the age of 14 and 15. And I started on homebrew. And so it was pretty intense. I started off on the hard stuff right from the get-go, with other cousins, with my older cousins, and we drank it straight, so there was no mixing it. And I believe because of that, my tolerance of alcohol was pretty hefty from a young age, so I needed a lot to actually get the effect of being drunk. Which also led to other substances. And what I noticed for me is I started to get into a lot of trouble. And at school, at the age of about 14, I noticed because of my using, drinking alcohol and using other substances, it affected my ability to learn at school. And so I started wagging school and using basically with my friends, and that was my life from the age of 14 onwards. What I realised now through coming into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous is that I had the disease from then, right from the get-go, basically from a young age. I couldn't think. At school, I couldn't socialise with people unless I had a substance in my mind, you know, unless I had a drink or a drug. And so that's what I did right up to for about the next 10 years. What I noticed, though, for me is it started to impact on my relationships with other people. My behaviour when I wasn't under the influence. So I was aggressive, tired, always getting into fights on the street. And now I understand now because I was withdrawing. So I had no substance in me to balance me out physically because I became physically dependent on the substance. And then I hit rock bottom in about 2 years ago. And I started working in a breweries at Lyon Nathan Breweries. And what happened is my drinking just went AWOL. You know, I started drinking hot stuff and boxes of alcohol and drink driving and assaulting other members of my friend's family, you know, while under the influence, you know. And I decided that it was from then that I had to change. My last incident, I nearly ended up in prison. So I decided to go and seek help. So I went and sought help in the community at a community service, and I was directed to go to rehab, you know. At that time, I always wished that I had help, but I didn't realise that there was support out there, you know. And so I got referred to rehab. I'd done an 8-week AOD program, and the best thing that I got out of that program was they introduced me to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And while I was in there, I had a bit of a spiritual awakening, and I felt for the first time ever connected to myself internally and to my surroundings. And so I felt myself spiritually right from the first meeting that I ever went to, feeling better, you know. And when I left, I'd never had that feeling or experience that ever, you know, in my whole life, you know. And so it was from that first experience that I wanted to go back, because I wanted to maintain that good feeling that I had without alcohol or drugs, you know. And it was pretty freaky. It was like I was on a natural high, you know. And so what I did is I started to listen to the suggested things in the rooms, and they talked about sponsors, and they spoke of alcoholism from a disease concept, you know, and I could relate to them. And what I liked about that is that I always felt that I was a bad person. You know, I always felt that I was, you know, just a menace to society, that I was sort of like a burden to the community. But when I went and met these other alcoholics, they told me, no, you're not a bad person. You know, you've got a disease, you know, and they told me about the disease concept. And, you know, I liked that because, you know, it suddenly all made sense, that because I had tried to stop using in the past, but I just couldn't, you know. And then every time I tried and then picked up again, you know, the guilt and the shame, you know, over the years, it just got worse and worse. But when they told me that I wasn't a bad person, you know, I actually felt supported and loved and respected. And so I started listening to what they were saying about the STEP program, working the steps. And I listened to the concept about powerlessness over alcoholism, but I struggled with that in the beginning. And growing up as a Māori, I wasn't taught to admit powerlessness for myself personally, and I couldn't see how that was gonna free me from my obsession to want to use, you know. But I had nothing to lose at that time, so I tried it. And what I noticed, the more I went back to those meetings, I had a spiritual awakening with my son. One of my sons came and sat on me for the first time ever, contently. And, you know, once I saw that, you know, it made me more eager to keep on coming back to the rooms. And what I noticed is that I started to talk differently. I started to act differently towards my partner, my children and family. And my family members started to see it, you know. And so what I saw was the program was working. And so the best thing that I've gotten from Alcoholics Anonymous, what it's given me is a second chance at life, you know, and a new relationship with my partner, myself, family and kids, and a loving higher power. So I'm really grateful to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I encourage any whānau members to come in and check us out. Don't be shy. And so thanks for asking me to share. Kia ora.
Kia ora, te pai. Kia ora, brother. Lovely to have you here. Rob, would you like to kōrero with us?
Yeah, kia ora, whānau. My name is Rob, and I'm an alcoholic.
Kia ora, Rob.
He mihi tūpoto tēnei ki a koutou katoa, e wakarongo mai nei ki a mātou i tēnei rā, nei rā te mihi. Nei rā te mihi aroha ki a koutou katoa, e noho mai rā i rungi ngā kāinga maa, huri noho tō o te motu, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou. Yeah, kia ora te pau, there was a very nice... talk that you talked to us about, and I related to quite a bit of it, you know, and my story is no different neither. I was brought up in an alcoholic family where my mother and my father and all my uncles and aunties drank, and, you know, with that came a lot of domestic violence, neglect, and so as I grew up, I sort of aspired to, you know, to try and get away from that sort of environment, but I actually found myself, you know, doing exactly what my mother and my father and my brothers and sisters were doing. And so after a lot of imprisonment, you know, I started doing imprisonment. First of all, I was made a state ward, and when I was 15, 16, and then I ended up doing a lot of prison. And most of it was to do with alcohol-related offences. You know, I was doing a lot of burglaries, breaking into cars, and my intent really was just to make some money so I could go and get me a fix, you know. And, you know, after I suppose it was 10 years of in and out of prison, I got out and I ended up having a family. You know, I met someone, and, you know, we met at the local pub, and before I knew it, I was virtually looking at my mum and dad's path that I had gone down. And so, you know, I struggled really hard, you know, because I didn't want to feel that I was different, you know. I always used to say, you know, I'd never be like my father, but here I was, you know, doing exactly the same things my father was done to my mother. And so, you know, 5 kids later, I had sort of reached a point in my life where I had just finished doing another lengthy imprisonment in term, and, you know, and prior to that, I had always wanted, you know, I knew I had a drinking problem, but I just didn't know how to, how I could do something about it. And so what I did is, as I was coming out of Mount Eden Prison, I looked in, I was getting released that day, and I looked into the what they call the receiving office, and that's the place where, you know, they sort of set you free from there. And I seen this little thing at the bottom, and it talked about this rehab centre, you know, and I asked one of the officers, I said, oh, can I have that number for that? And he gave it to me, you know. And my usual pattern when I got out of prison was, you know, straight to the bottle store, you know, spend all my money. And then when I was broke, you know, a couple of days later, you know, sort of thinking, well, where am I at today, you know? And it was back into that same cycle of committing crime. And so by the time I got around to checking out this rehab, I went in there, they accepted me, and I think it was about the third day I was in there, they had people from AA coming. And that was, I suppose, the gateway for me. That's what got me into AA. And the thing that I liked about that was I could relate to these people that were talking that day, you know, and they were quite of a, they were like of my parents' age, but I could relate to everything they said, you know. And these people were quite happy, you know, they were, it was like they were glowing. And, you know, I just for a moment there, I just thought, man, I wish I had a bit of what they had. And they started talking about the steps and getting a sponsor and doing service, you know, and I sort of put the brakes on from then, you know, because I had struggled from that time to put my hand out and ask for help. And for me, asking for help was like a sign of weakness. And so when I actually put my hand out and I said, look, hey, I've related to what you said, one of the old fellows that was speaking that day, and he goes, oh, here then, Rob, I'll give you my phone number, and, you know, just keep in touch. And I did, you know, and by then, because of the feeling I had got from that first meeting, I thought, man, I need to go to another meeting, and I wonder if it was just a one-off. And the next meeting I went to, it was the same thing, you know. It was like there was a lot of goodwill and a lot of wide were floating around in that room, and it sort of just, you know, I just sort of felt, you know, a part of. And then just this little thing in the back of my head thought to myself, well, Rob, you know, maybe, just maybe, this path may help you. And so I followed it, you know. I did the suggested things. I got a sponsor. I did service. And, you know, those things weren't hard. They weren't easy. I struggled because I wasn't very good at communicating, you know. I had sort of come from a lifestyle where I only hung out with people that did what I did and they looked like me, and I felt sort of out of sort. I didn't feel comfortable in mainstream. And so it was back then that I started to mingle with, you know, started to be a part of the community. And I started doing the steps, you know, and what I was told at the start, they said, Rob, the AA program is a spiritual program, you know. And the spirituality that I got out of this program was more to do about being honest, being willing, and being open-minded. And the honesty was one of the things that, you know, that I really, really loved, because it pulled this big weight that I had on my shoulders. And, you know, and it made me vulnerable. And that was one thing that I didn't like to be, was I didn't like to be vulnerable. But when I became vulnerable, I found that I started to grow as a person, you know. And so as I went along and I kept going to meetings, I kept, you know, the more meetings I went to, the more friends I made. And the more friends I made, the more I was able to offload a lot of stuff that I had on my shoulders, you know, because one thing I had to remember also was that, you know, I was an alcoholic and I was here for my alcoholism, you know, and it sort of got to a stage there where I sort of forgot about, you know, the obsession had gone, but it had sort of pushed into other areas of my life that I, you know, it made me aware that it was in other parts of my life. And So, you know, so I kept doing the suggested things, you know, and it's been the best journey I've ever made. You know, I went through a lot of stuff with SIFs and with the police and with the justice system, and I had become a part virtually of a system where all I felt was isolated, you know, alone. And the one thing that I really wanted to do was I wanted to break the cycle, because I had my five other kids following me, and all they seen was, you know, all the carnage that alcohol had brought to my family. And so, you know, today I feel that AA has really picked me up, and not only has it picked me up, but it's given me a path. It's opened another door for me. It's actually given me another lease on life. And so, you know, one thing that I, you know, I had a bit of a spiritual awakening last week, and what happened was I went to visit one of my family who's in one of the spinal units in Auckland, and, you know, I started to cry, you know, not physically, but from my heart when I seen him, because what happened is something happened to him through no fault of his doing, but he had to accept that he was not going to walk for the rest of his life. He was paralyzed from the stomach down, you know, and I feel I have sort of been put in a similar situation that, like that as well, because for me, I'm not going to drink anymore. And the thing that picked him up was other people that were in wheelchairs themselves, but these fellas had never ever walked ever in their lives. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he thought, well, at least I had 50 years of walking, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's what got him out of his depression. Well, it's the same with my alcoholism. When I talk to other alcoholics that have been through the same journey as myself, well, then that's what helps me, you know. Mm. And it's the same with my cousin. What happened to him through his journey and through what's happened through my journey, it's, you know, it's just been a wonderful journey, you know. And like Tapo said, you know, I encourage a lot of our whānau to come in and get a taste of it, you know. It's, the doors are always open. There's one saying I'll finish here is, the doors are always open. So, kia koutou katoa, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, a kia ora tātou.
Oh, kia ora, brothers. Thank you guys for coming and being here this morning with us. It's been a pleasure and a privilege to have you guys here. What we'll just do now is, I just want to say, if you guys have a problem with alcohol out there and you want help, you can phone 0800 AA Works, which will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. There are over 100 AA meetings each week within the Greater Auckland area. For more information, log on to aa.org.nz. Thank you for listening. We will be here again next Sunday at 10:45. I just also want to just also acknowledge one of our karawa who passed down in our Franklin district, Matua Jock, and he was a long, long time member. He had 50 years sobriety, and I just want to acknowledge him today. So kia ora Matua, and safe passages. Anyway, thank you guys for being here. What we'll do is we might just say the Serenity Prayer, guys, just to call to God
grant us serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Kia ora mai tātou. You can hear this program again at planetaudio.org.nz/AA meeting on air. Kia ora mai tātou, ka kite anō.
Access.